How's it going, guys?
It's going good. How are you?
Well, just busy as always. You know, there's always something in the fire. You know, the campaign is ramping up now, so that's I'm getting involved in that, but trying to keep up with the flicks as well. So, you know,
I saw your campaign button. I saw your campaign. That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious to see how this is all going to turn out. I mean, you know, first time, so I'm a virgin when it comes to the campaign. What can I tell you? So.
Well, you'll be the only politician who is.
Roll on thunder, shine on lightning. The days are long and the nights are frightening. Nothing matters anyway, and that's the hell of it. Winter comes and the winds blow colder. Will some grow wiser? You just grew older. You never listened anyway, and that's the hell of it.
August 5th, we have, and this is a big one, Phantom of the Paradise, which I'm really excited about. I guess you guys are too, I would hope.
Yeah, who's releasing that?
That's Scream Factory is putting that out. So,
okay.
there's supposedly an interview with Paul Williams on there, and there's just all kinds of. There's been a website that's been up for a while, the Swan Archives. I'm sure you guys know about it anyway. That has a lot of outtakes from the film. This guy spent his entire life collecting Phantom of the Paradise memorabilia, and so you can. I don't know if some of the stuff from his site is going to make it to the Blu-ray. I haven't heard, but there's at least 40 minutes worth of outtakes on that site. If you're a fan of Phantom of the Paradise, I would recommend going to
Canadian.
The Swan Archives.
It's got a huge cult. I mean, it's been a massive cult film since it came out, when it, you know, wasn't a huge hit, but it's always been, you know, massively popular and kind of a progenitor of Rocky Horror, if you ask me, you know, like in a way, it's kind of got that same sort of flavor.
What is up with you using the word progenitor so much recently? it just popped up into your vocabulary recently.
Did I use it last week? Maybe I should retire it.
I think you used it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's good. It always makes me think of pomegranate. Every time you say that word.
what a great movie and incredible performances. And especially I love Jessica Harper in it. She's got a great number in it where she just controls the camera. She's always been one of my favorite character actresses.
Well, I'm an unabashed Paul Williams fan. I'll go ahead and cop to that. So, you know, that kind of and being a De Palma fan as well, that just colors my, you know, take on the film. Although it's not my favorite De Palma film, so
it seems like such an odd pairing. Did you see the documentary on Paul Williams, Adam?
I did, and I was kind of disappointed with that. I didn't think it was nearly as in depth as it should have been, and it kind of glossed over some of his accomplishments, I think, were, you know, not really touched on. And I don't know, for me, it felt like it was more about the guy directing the film than it was about Paul Williams. That was my
Exactly. You know, exactly what's the problem with it. You're absolutely right.
What we need is one of the American Masters needs to take on Paul Williams on PBS.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be, I would love that because he's worthy of it. we also have the full Monty, and you know, I don't know what needs to be said about that. I actually, that's a blind spot for me. I didn't see that when it came out. I never did. So although
you never saw it?
No, never did. Just never did. For
wow.
Whatever reason.
It's an overrated piece of shit. It's not that. That's kind of mean. I mean, you know, it's kind of.
No, Dean,
class.
It's not kind of mean. Let's be very honest about that movie. It represents a trend that started, I guess, in the early 90s. And, you know, I like some of these movies, like Waking the Divine, but it's the Anglo import to make all the East Coast liberals feel good about themselves kind of movie. But I thought that it was I mean, not a great movie, but I mean, it certainly wasn't a surprise that it became the worldwide hit that it was, and spawned, you know, a Broadway show and all sorts of stuff. But you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a gritty, like working class drama for most of it, and then the sort of the metal stripping part of it. That part of it is kind of interesting, too, because you've got all these characters up there who really shouldn't be male strippers. So it's really about well, at least Mark Addy's character, who's the fat guy in it, like getting some confidence in his body, which I think that's an interesting subject matter. But, you know. I mean, if you want to blame, you know, Waking Ned Divine, which wasn't a bad movie either, on no,
it.
No, that was that's a much better movie, but I'm not blaming. I'm just saying he's a part of a whole series of art house films that really shouldn't be art house films that are really kind of just nothing at the end of the day. They're fun, but they're just like, I mean, we're talking about the full Monty in 2014. Give me a fucking break. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam, so much. I hope it doesn't affect your commissioner campaign. I really hope that I hope we haven't railroaded your whole campaign. I worry about that since you've announced this. I've worried about how three derelicts, you know, could do this to you. But all right.
Well, what maybe we'll just have a fundraiser. We'll have a fundraiser, and we'll have the full Monty as the film to be shown at the fundraiser.
All of us will get up and do the full Monty thing.
Okay, there we go. Do it live.
We'll never be on the air ever again, Dean. And you will not be elected. You will be elected.
Okay.
We'll be finished.
Well, anyway, moving right along, we have The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Oh my God!
Now we've spiraled down into the to the depths
of
hell.
I think this is a lesser Bill Murray movie. Yeah, I don't know about the rest of you.
Oh, really?
Of course it is.
Out of limb.
Well, why would Warner Brothers plumb the depths? There's so many great films that aren't being issued on Blu-ray, and the question begs to be answered: why would they?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea.
Okay, let's hear.
Maybe it's the same studio that's coming out with that Saint whatever with
Saint Vincent.
Bill,
Saint Vincent?
Yeah, with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Maybe the studios are related somehow.
Oh, yeah, tie-in. Yeah, yeah, you may
now,
be.
What's,
yeah,
what's,
but
what's,
I mean,
what's
come
the
on.
Movie, what's the movie with Bill Murray and the elephant? Because that's bad, too.
Oh, that's the worst.
Larger than life. Yeah,
that's,
not to be confused with Operation Dumbo Drop. So,
very easy to confuse them.
And I say, go ahead and confuse them. You won't know the difference anyway.
Yeah. If you're looking for an elephant movie.
yeah, exactly.
There hasn't been a good elephant movie since Dumbo. I mean, we need to focus on this.
Yes. Well, there's Elephant Rock.
If there are any production executives listening to us right now, take out your pad and write that down. We need a new elephant movie. So
there
a remake
been.
Of Elephant Walk with Beyonce.
I'm telling you guys right
now,
there hasn't been a decent elephant movie since John Holmes died. That's how bad it's been.
That's true. I agree with that
100%. No, we're forgetting Water for Elephants. That's another one. That was a good movie.
All right.
That was better than anyone wants to give it credit for, but yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll move back to moving along. We'll go to this is another Scream Factory release, and I know you guys brought this up a couple of months ago. It was one of those HBO staples from the early 80s, Without Warning. This is the one that had Ralph Meeker in it. I think another one I haven't seen, but I'm aware of it. And I actually have it here somewhere.
Unbelievable cast. You're not even giving the cast full justice. Just in case you missed the show where we talked about it a couple weeks ago or months ago. It's got Martin Landau, Jack Palance, Larry Storch, Ralph Meeker, Neville Brand, and the girl in it is named Tara Nutter. That's her name.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an appropriate name for her, but I mean...
But anyway,
I'm sorry, baby.
Very,
it was without warning.
But, yes, of course. But that's a very, very interesting bad movie. Incredibly hilarious.
Well, Scream Factory thought it warranted an issue with all the bells and whistles, so they're getting it out there. Anyway, moving to August 12th, we have Elvis. That's the Way It Is. I'm assuming that's one of the ones that that you got in the mail, Jamie. There.
Yes.
The concert film, yeah.
He started a new sound, and they listened. He started a new style, and a new world of music was born.
There's one for the money, one for the show.
From MGM, the film about the guy who started it all, and still leads the way. Elvis, in person, as he is, in Elvis, That's the Way It Is. A unique 90 minutes of entertainment both on stage and behind the scenes.
Well, the next step is love. So what are we waiting for?
That's a friend of mine.
Normal woman that can't get excited when he walks on. He's so dynamic.
Love me tender, love me true. Never let me go.
My daughter went to see the show Tuesday night, and she got kissed by Elvis, and she hasn't washed her face since.
Elvis Presley.
I've loved you, yes, I've loved you.
The most dynamic performer in popular music today. Elvis Presley, he says it all. Now, Elvis 70. See it, share it, live it, love it. A sensational film from MGM. Elvis, That's the Way It Is. Don't dare miss it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a super duper Blu-ray set, and they're also releasing Viva Las Vegas in a super duper Blu-ray.
His best movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
say,
coming
well,
out separately.
Yeah. What was Elvis's best movie?
Well,
Jailhouse Rock.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of people are big fans of Follow That Dream for some reason. You know, that the comedy where he's a country bumpkin or something. They're in Florida. I think Arthur O'Connell plays the dad or something, and they're like that's coming out actually the same day, but from Twilight Time. But that a lot of people are fans of that.
What is this? Is it like the anniversary of Elvis's death or something? Or?
I know. I'm wondering what that's all about. Because
death was in August.
Yeah, August 16th. But
yeah, it is. That's true. It's his anniversary of his death. Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah. Well, I guess that's what it's all about. But anyway, also the same day you have the 1997 animated Hercules, the Disney. You know.
Vomit.
I could do without that. Yeah, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Speaking of Disney, also have that.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, and then we get into some interesting titles here. We have Bloodsucking Freaks from 1978. Of course, Troma is going to be putting that out. I remember seeing that on it was back in the heyday of VHS, I guess like in 1985, and I was curious about it because it was in the Michael Weldon book, And he made mention of it, so I said, let me check this out. And I think I checked out of it at about the point where the guy puts a straw on the top of somebody's head and starts sucking on their brains as if he were sipping a Pepsi Cola. That was it. I couldn't even take it. I was 15 when I rented it, but I said, okay, it's enough for me at this point. All right, but
yeah, that's his most famous scene. I have a feeling that's where a lot of people either, you know, have an orgasm or check out in that movie. I don't know,
right,
depending on who you are.
Yeah. Anyway, Kino has licensed a bunch of the MGM titles. We talked about this last time, but they're putting out some interesting product. They're putting out a Breakheart Pass, the Charles Bronson. They're
going to
be issuing that, and Mr. Majestic as well. And so they'll be doing those. Also have
two of his best 70s movies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, Follow That Dream. There's a Looney Tunes Platinum Collection, Volume 3. They're slowly trotting out these the Looney Tunes animated shorts. I think they're doing like a volume each year or something like that. But anyway, and not to be outdone, Disney has Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, the Three Musketeers 10th Anniversary Edition.
Sleep if that didn't come up.
Exactly. Well, they're trotting out Tarzan as well, so there's another one for you. But anyway, on the same day.
Wait, the Tarzan from 99?
Yeah, that one.
You know what's really sad? For a majority of people, that's the definitive cinematic Tarzan.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. For a certain age of people, that's the Tarzan.
No, a majority of people, it's not Johnny Weissmuller, it's not Chris, it's not even Elmo Lincoln, for crying out loud. It's that animated film.
Or Christopher Lambert.
No, the Christopher Lambert would be, I would think, an improvement, but no, it's not even Lex Barker. It's the animated one, which is really, the more I think about it, it's really wretched.
When I think Tarzan, I think Phil Collins.
That's
what I've been thinking about for years.
And the
fact that
can you believe that's an Oscar-winning song? You'll Be in My Heart.
I know. Yeah. And what makes it really sad?
Yeah, I can believe it.
I can believe it, but it's a real injustice because the same year Amy Mann was nominated for the song Magnolia, and she lost to that. And I cringe every time I think about it, but that's a whole other story. So. Motel Hell is also being issued by Scream Factory. That Rory Calhoun and Nancy Parsons, remember her from Porky's? That's probably her only other role outside of Porky's that I know of that anybody remembers anyway. But you have two from Ken Loach. Here's a double feature, Riff Raff and Raining Stones. Times putting those out. I love Ken Loach myself. I'm a big fan, so. Looking forward to those. Rush Hour 2, we could have probably done without that maybe, but anyway, seeing fit to issue that. The Avengers, the 1998 version, no relation.
Let's forget about that one, too. Oh, my
God.
Come
on, guys. Sean Connery in a bunny outfit. Come on.
Oh, man.
What more do you need to say? I know.
Horrible.
Well, here's one that is pretty good, I think. The Buddy Holly story. Twilight
Zone
issuing that. And it'll be good to have a good transfer of that because it's not really been done justice on video, I don't think.
Is there any extras in it? Is there a Gary Busey?
No. It's one of those Twilight Time where they limited edition 3,000, pressing of 3,000 only, and it's... and then they're done. So, just kind of bare bones.
God,
but,
I'd love to hear a Gary Busey commentary on that.
That
would be amazing. Snort a Gary Busey commentary.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some great Gary Busey stories from that shoot that need
to
be told.
Hey, Adam, I got a question. I got a question for you. I've heard that the Twin Peaks box set that came out last week, that they pressed it wrong, and the movie, the soundtrack is completely out of sync with the movie.
Yeah, I caught wind of something about that. I'm not exactly sure all of the details on it, but I had heard that there was an issue, that they were having some sound issues on that. So, Yeah, and I don't know what the deal is as far as getting it corrected, or if you're going to be able to just mail your disc that's defective in, or what the deal is. I don't think they've actually made an official announcement at this point, but yeah, I caught wind of that last week too. Yeah.
Gosh, it's a catastrophe when that kind of thing happens. I mean, because they press tens or hundreds of thousands of copies of this stuff, and they send it out. I mean, they did the same thing with French Connection. The transfer was terrible with that, and there was some mistake in the pressing of that, so the picture came out terrible. And I think the first Straw Dogs Blu-ray was terrible the same way. It was overexposed. And
exactly, yeah. Yeah, the French Connection, I remember Best Buy, they got an exclusive on, they remastered it yet again, and then Best Buy had an exclusive for, I don't know, 6 months or something, and you could only get it there. I think that's
changed. Well, we were related to that whole debacle, because Aaron did an interview with Friedkin. And Friedkin said, our buddy Aaron talked to the cinematographer and said, Owen Roisman said, French Connection just came out on Blu-ray. Will you come on the show and talk about it? So Owen Roisman said, well, I haven't even seen the transfer yet, so let me get it. And so he bought a Blu-ray player and he bought the Blu-ray. He said, this looks like crap. And he went on Aaron's show and actually said that. And William Friedkin heard it and got upset. So he went on on Aaron's show and said, Owen Roisman doesn't know what he's talking about. Blah, blah, blah. So, but then Friedkin watched the movie with Owen Roisman, and they both agreed, yeah, this is wrong. This isn't what we both agreed upon. Like, Friedkin was completely unaware that it screwed up. So his first mistake, though, was not employing Owen Roisman to be part of the restoration. But he corrected that when they redid The Exorcist. He made sure Roisman was there with him, you know. But there's the story, Adam. There you go.
That's a great story, and I did not know that, actually. So, I got the corrected one myself, and it does look great, I think. I would give it a thumbs up. So, anyway, in case anybody doesn't have it, but make sure you get the corrected one, yeah, for sure. Toxic Avenger, Trauma, any thoughts on that? I don't know, but they're putting out the original Toxic Avenger, which I think definitely needed an upgrade. Because the one that was on standard DVD did not look very good. But, I was a fan of it back in the day. It's, you know, it is what it is. Okay, the 1960 version of The Unforgiven, which a blind spot for me. Haven't seen that one. But
the Burt Lancaster, right?
Yeah, I never saw that one. Yep, but it's it is coming out. And that covers it for that day. And then
that's what old people call the Clint Eastwood movie, too. Have you ever seen The Unforgiven?
Yeah, like they call it the alien.
Yeah, they put the alien in front of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got on the 19th, we have Leviathan from 89. That seems to spurn some discussion there.
Oh, man. The poor man's abyss.
Yeah.
Well,
didn't it come out the same time?
It did.
They all came out. I mean, you know, Lords of the Deep and The Abyss and Leviathan. And there's one other, I think, though, that came
Deep
out.
Deep Six Rising.
Deep Six.
What's the director, George Cosmatis? That's Leviathan, right?
Yep, that's right.
I think so, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you have that one. You have... Like Water for Chocolate, and you have that one coming. Also, let's see, The Flintstones, 1994, 20th Anniversary Edition. Did we really need that? I don't think so, but regardless, so.
It was a good, was that the last movie that Elizabeth Taylor did?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, I believe so. I can't think of another one. That's not necessarily the way you want to go out. So,
Dean, I'm going to have to mute your line because it sounds like a rabid puppy is biting someone's leg in the background. I don't know what's going on back there. I'll bring you back on in just a bit. Okay, Flintstones, Elizabeth Taylor swan song. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Sadly. But, okay. I think that's about it for the 19th. And then the 26th, we actually do get some decent titles here, at least one great one, which would be All That Jazz, as we've talked about. Criterion's doing all That Jazz, which I'm salivating for. I'm sure that's going to – I can't imagine it would disappoint fans of the movie.
August 26th, right?
Yes, August 26th, yes.
They have a commentary with the editor. They have a selected scene commentary with Scheider. They have new interviews with the editor and Fosse's biography, a new conversation with two of the actors, including Anne Reinking and someone else I can't pronounce. They have an episode of the talk show Tomorrow from 1980. I think that's Tom Snyder's talk show. Featuring director Bob Fosse and the cinematographer. Interviews with Bob Fosse from 1981 to 1986. On-set footage. A 2007 documentary on Fosse called Portrait of a Choreographer, a 2007 documentary about the film's music soundtrack, an interview with George Benson on the song On Broadway, which opens the film. It's good. Good stuff. I approve.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it even more than ever now. That's awesome. Well, anyway, that's definitely the one to look for the month, I think. But here are a few other titles in case anybody's interested. We have a double feature, Blue Underground, the horror company that specializes in horror films. And we have Rats, Night of Terror, and Hell of the Living Dead. So
yes.
I don't know that anybody was asking for either one of those. But
No, I think those are Jerry's favorites. So that comes out when?
I've never heard of these films, so.
August 26th.
Jerry's playing coy. He knows these are his.
No, favorites. I don't. I really don't know these films. I mean,
I'm playing a joke. I'm telling you.
I know, but I really don't.
Well, at any rate, we have those. We have High School Confidential. That's going to be coming out. I've Always Loved You. Oh, On the Beach from. Yeah. We have On the Beach, 1959.
I know that.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. And here's one of my favorites. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I've always been a huge fan of this one for 30-plus years. The Party with Peter Sellers from 68.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah,
that's an awesome film.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see that's finally making its way to Blu-ray because that's a film I've shared with so many people over the years. And my dad... He told me that film played in our area literally 3 days, so he couldn't get to the theater before it was gone, literally. I mean, it started playing on a Friday, and by Monday it was already gone.
Wow.
He said back in those days, in our area, they would run two films, I guess because they didn't have multiplexes, they would try to squeeze in as many films as they could, so they would switch the films in the middle of the week if they weren't really performing. So apparently... So the film ran to Monday or Tuesday or something, about approximately half a week, and then it was gone. And he said he just
That's
didn't catch it
because
until the early
you associate that you associate those times with movies that you know actually stuck around, like they had a lot more patience showing movies back then. Like they'd have some kind of life at least. But,
yeah, that was always the story I heard. And so when we finally caught it on Cinemax in the early 80s, my dad said, well, finally, I get a chance to see it after all this time, like 15 years.
We have a loyal listener, Patrick, that loves The Party. He loves the poster for The Party. He's like obsessed with getting that poster because there's a particular style of poster that shows, like, I don't know how to describe it, but they're very colorful and they're all the characters together and they're essentially drawn in caricature.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's awesome.
There was a particular artist that did all of those kinds of posters around that time. He loves all those posters. So if anyone has a poster for The Party, let me know and I'll try to broker a deal here. So thank you.
Yeah, that's a great – I have the soundtrack album on vinyl, actually, that I picked up years ago, and I think it's the same artwork on the cover of the album, I believe. But great Mancini score, too, by the way. And then you have I'm trying to think of the female that's in that movie. She's the one that she shot her husband, Spider Savage, the skier. Claudine Langer, there it is. It just came out. She plays the female lead in the film. And she was married to Andy Williams at one point and then became infamous for having shot her husband. who was a so that was a kind of a and she got somehow she was able to not get not do jail time for it. I'm not sure how that worked out, but anyway, that kind of killed her career.
You want to hear a story about Andy Williams?
Let's hear it.
Andy Williams, his daughter's pet parakeet died when she was like little, like five or four or five. And so she was crushed by it. And so Andy Williams was explaining death to her and that whole thing. And to make it easier for her, he said, we'll have a little funeral for the parakeet in the backyard. And so they dug a little hole and they put in the cigar box, and she put in like the little knickknacks and mementos in the cigar box for the bird so he won't be lonely and remember them and all that whole ceremonial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stand above the open hole in the backyard, and Andy Williams sings a little song. And then he says, would you like to see the parakeet before we bury the parakeet? I don't know the parakeet's name. And she said, sure. And so they took the box and they opened it and they looked down at the parakeet. And the parakeet moved. And then the little girl looks up at her dad, Andy Williams, and says, let's kill it.
Oh, jeez.
It's a true story. It's a little creepy.
That's dark, man. That's real dark.
that's in Stephen King's Dance Macabre book. It's like it's like a story of creepy things that happened and to real people.
Yeah,
it's a great book.
I read that book like 30 years ago, but I don't remember that story for some reason. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Let's see. All right, a couple more. Legend of Hell House, Shout Factory. Roddy McDowell, I always thought it was written by Richard Matheson, so I always enjoyed that one. I think it holds up pretty well from what I recall. And then there's a Japanese film Criterion is issuing, and this is another blind spot for me, Vengeance is Mine. So they're going to be issuing that. And early Woody Allen, What's New Pussycat, Kino is going to be I guess he would if he had his way about it, they wouldn't be issuing it. But that's nevertheless they will be. So
which one?
Those,
Innocence is Mine.
What's New Pussycat? Well, Vengeance is Mine is coming out from Criterion. That's a blind spot for me. But then I said, What's New Pussycat is going to be issued, and I guess if Woody Allen had his way, they wouldn't be issuing it at all.
You know who was originally who that project was originally intended for? What's New Pussycat? Do you know, Jerry?
That was that's. Oh, I'm sorry.
I love that movie. Who was it originally intended for?
I think
for,
I know.
Though?
I think it was Warren Beatty. Like Warren
was.
Beatty was
yes,
trying to
right.
yeah to get that project off the ground, and they said we need a comedy writer, and they found Woody Allen doing stand up, and they offered him the chance to write the movie, and Woody Allen says as long as I can play a small part in it, I'll do it. And as Woody Allen was writing it, he wrote his role bigger and bigger. Until Warren Beatty's ego couldn't take it, so Warren Beatty just left, and it became Woody Allen's thing.
So it's interesting that Warren Beatty has been like you know sabotaged by Woody Allen and Quentin Tarantino in one lifetime. I love that.
Yeah, I love Warren Beatty was cock blocked by Woody Allen. That seems impractical.
That's great. But What's New Pussycat is such a funny movie. I'm sorry, we're talking about this movie like decades later. That movie holds. I think that movie holds up very well. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. I think that movie is so funny to this day. Love that movie.
It is interesting, and it is interesting, like the enormous role that Warren Beatty plays in the world of filmmaking from the 60s on, and even though he doesn't really, he's not on the same pantheon of his contemporaries. And I don't know if it's because he's not as much of an actor as his contemporaries or his output is less than his contemporaries, but he just finished his new movie. He just wrapped production on it. So we have another Warren Beatty coming out soon.
Wow.
I look forward to that though.
Me too.
I was going to say, I can't believe he actually finished it in the amount of time he did. Isn't that amazing? There's some new releases coming. I'll mention these real quick because I know you guys have already talked about them, but I'll just bring them out in case anybody's interested. You have Need for Speed. I have Oculus, Divergent, and This one, I don't know if anybody's seen. I know I missed it, but I heard about it. It was at Sundance in January, Ping Pong Summer.
that was me. That was me here.
Oh, wow, I didn't
know
that.
That was me in Maryland. That was me in Ocean City, Maryland. I'd like to see. They didn't. You know, it opened my least favorite theater in the whole wide world, the AFI Silver, which may be the world's most thankless and useless movie theater in the world. They had a play here for a week or two, and, you know, it's one of our own, you know? And they just really crapped on that release. But, no, this is a big deal, this movie. It's a, you know, a D.C., Maryland, Virginia, you know, filmmaker, and it's a big deal. I'd like to see this movie. It was on demand, and I guess that's going to really be the savior for any sort of independent filmmaker. We've talked about is on demand movie. It's on demand. So, yeah, this is a big deal, Ping Pong Summer. And Susan Sarandon's in it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, it's got a
I'm trying to figure out how he got Susan Sarandon in the movie. I don't know how this guy did this, but my hat's off to him for doing that.
Well, she must have an affinity for ping pong.
I have an affinity for ping pong. But
what are we on now?
Okay, well, I'm glad Dean's back because we were discussing newer films that are being issued, and here's one of his favorites of the year, Locke, is going to be issued.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
I'd rather get run over by a freight train and watch Locke again. I mean, this movie sucks. And I know there are people defending this movie, and they can go straight to hell as far as I'm concerned, because this is the movie you're defending. Locke is the art house film that gives art house films a bad name. I'm sorry.
It's absolutely true.
This movie blows chunks. Can we go back and can we watch Ping Pong Summer? Really? I mean, can we go back and watch Bill? And what was the other one? The one with Aaron Paul? Was it Built for Speed or Need for Speed? What is the title?
Need for Speed.
That was better than this. This movie needed speed very badly, and it has none of that. This movie sucks. This movie is just wretched. And I just hope that he had preparation aged, like, in large quantities for this film. Because he must have been in agony making this movie. This movie is so bad. I mean, it's just Tom Hardy talking in his SUV on the British highways, you know, talking on the car phone, and it sucks. And if there are people defending this movie and saying it's wonderful, they're charlatans.
preach it. Preach it, brother. I love
sucks.
It.
This movie sucks.
I love it.
This movie is awful. You know, for those people who said that he was a bad Bane, shame on you. He's an awesome Bane. This movie is wretched. This movie just sucks.
Okay. Yeah. So we're not very taken by Locke. Is there anything else, Adam?
Please, Adam. Please help us.
The unnecessarily extended edition, that's what it's being billed as, of Muppets Most Wanted. So
can I ask the question? Was the Muppet? I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm going to go there. I mean, I thought the Muppets was cute and everything, but I thought it sucked, too. So what happens in the Muppets Most Wanted that really would make me want to, like, really shell out the money to see this version? I didn't see it at all, so what happens?
I don't know. I skipped it. I wasn't a fan of the other one, the one with Jason Segel. I was in the minority on that. Everybody seemed to really jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, I thought that movie sucked balls. I mean, really? Jason Segel, I mean, I know you love this and everything, and I love the Muppet. I think we all love the Muppet, but this was your – I mean, I'm like 10 minutes into this movie in the theater with my niece, and I'm like, really?
When Chris Cooper started rapping, that's when I checked out. I was Chris Cooper raps in the Jason Segel Muppets film, and when that happened, I was done. I said, okay.
Well, I've got to see it now because Chris Cooper.
I blocked that out. I might have to go back and watch that.
I love Chris Cooper, but he is the most joyless person I've ever seen on screen. So I really need to see him rapping.
You've got to see it for no other reason but that. But it was trending like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was a head scratcher for me. I just don't get it, but that's maybe me. But anyway, moving along, we have Rosemary's Baby, the miniseries version. And a direct-to-video.
By the way, someone pointed out that that movie is direct. I didn't know this, but that TV movie version of Rosemary's Baby is directed by Agnetha Holland, who did Europa Europa a few years ago.
What?
So isn't that kind of isn't that weird?
Europa Europa is one of the single best movies made about the Holocaust.
I would agree.
Rosemary's Baby.
Uh huh. Yeah. She's doing a lot of TV now. She's doing a lot of TV.
I'm not making light of that, but Rosemary's Baby just looked. Oh man,
I watched
so badly.
Yes.
I watched quite a bit of it when it aired live on NBC. And yes, it is very faithful to the book, but that's not necessarily a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing.
Hey, I also heard, I heard this. This made me just want to check out and never watch it ever. That they, instead of having the old couple, the Castevets, as an old couple, they're now like a hip, like, they moved it to Paris, by the way. They moved the story to Paris. And now they're like a couple of French, young French hipsters. That's the next door neighbors.
It's TV. All the time.
Network TV always looks like network TV. I mean, the only exception for me is Hannibal, which is also on NBC. But that has a very nice cinematic special look to it.
How they get away with that is beyond me.
Yeah, me too. Because that is the goriest show on television. Gorier than Walking Dead or anything you'll see in HBO. Hannibal is graphic.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
well, we have a direct-to-video Jarhead 2. I'm not sure what to
what
say.
What the hell? No, wait. Before we do anything else, we don't have to talk
Jarhead
about
Jarhead
2. Jarhead 2 to me. Please explain this to me because this just boggles. I read about this the other day. This just boggles my mind. Really?
I want an explanation, too.
What is this?
Who's in it?
Some things are inexplicable. I'm not sure I can give you a satisfactory. Is there anything I could say that would satisfactorily explain?
Well, is there anybody in it?
Let me ask you a question. Anthony Slowford, who wrote the book Jarhead that the original movie is based on, which is a very interesting and misguided movie to begin with, but we have a sequel that just seems to be. I read about this the other day, I think yesterday or the day before, and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, instead of Jake Gyllenhaal, what we have is S.A. Morales and Cole Hauser. So that's what you have.
Yeah.
That
wow.
So good.
That's a great direct video cast.
Let me go back and get my director's cut of Rapa Nui out.
You know what they're doing. I know what they're doing because I think more people know the title Jarhead than they do the actual original movie.
Yeah.
So now with the popularity of like Metal War or Gears of War or whatever, all the war video games out there, that's probably why they've released something like this direct to DVD, you know, something like Jarhead 2, to tap into that audience. And it has the exact cast that you'd expect to be in something like this. Because, like you said, Isai Morales, Cole Hauser, Stephen Lang is in it. He's probably the biggest name in it. The lead in it is, his name is Justin Wong, which this is you know, a Wong career choice for him.
Definitely. But Field of Fire is the... that's the subtitle.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's
maybe
what I've been saying all these years.
Moving on.
Moving on, fellas. Okay, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Not sure we want to go back down that road again, but nevertheless, it's being issued.
You know what pisses me off? I'll tell you what pisses me off. First of all, it pissed me off that they rebooted the damn thing a decade after the first reboot. But what also pisses me off is that Spider-Man 2, I mean, it made a lot of money, but it made, like, I don't know, how much less than the last one? Like $50 million or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It still made, like, $700 million worldwide. And they're talking about it being a disappointment. Like,
yeah.
What kind of a world do we live in where $750 million
Now, if a movie doesn't make $1 billion worldwide, then it's a disappointment.
There's only one movie that's crossed $1 billion as of today, and it's Transformers.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, I mean, this is something I was thinking about earlier. So is the new normal, if it doesn't, in this country, domestically, if it doesn't make $200 million, is it considered a dud?
I think that's where we're at now.
That's very frightening.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be
$100 million, but now it's $200 million.
And they've announced this past week, or maybe it was the week before, that because of the supposed failure of Amazing Spider-Man 2, they're now saying that that number 3 isn't going to be seen until 2018. I'm getting the vibe it may not even get made. I don't know. I mean, that's
I don't think it's getting made. I think it's over. I think it's over.
I think they'll figure out a way to keep Spider-Man going. But that's my point. They're in a tizzy, and they're like, say, we have to reimagine the whole thing because we only made $700 million worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of bullshit?
It is bullshit. Can I say something?
It is.
Would it have been so bad had we had that? We all know that the one that came out a couple of years ago, the first one, Andrew Garfield, was going to be with Tobey Maguire, and I would have been happy had that been with Tobey Maguire, because it was so stupid to reboot the whole thing so soon after the other one. I would have been happy with that. I mean, and Tobey Maguire would have probably been happy with that, too. I don't, you know, no one's talking about brothers.
The thing that really, makes me pissed off about it more than anything is the fact that when they're rethinking it, they're not going to rethink it the right way, because they're going to spend more money. You know, the problem is if you can't make a profit off of $750 million, your problem is that you're spending $300 million
too much
in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me just say this though. When does an idea that has to be rethought and rebooted over and over again, when does an idea like finally just die on the vine? Like, when does it just run out of gas? Like, how many ways can you rethink something? You know,
never.
It's like
never. As long as it's a name property. I mean, Adam brought up a movie earlier. That's the perfect example. You would have thought when the Avengers came out in '98. Well, that's the death of that. I mean, why would anybody go back to that well after that debacle?
Yeah,
but they did. And they did it very successfully because people know the Avengers.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. So anyway, Spider-Man 2, for whatever it's worth. And speaking of bad films, Blended with Sandler and Barrymore, and that's perceived as kind of a failure, I think, too, financially.
That is for him. That is, you know, it's really interesting. The last couple of Sandler movies have been duds. I mean, they can't.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So.
But you know, it would interest me to see what John Barrymore would think of Blended. Let me see where my family legacy is today.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes.
Well, I will go out with one newer release that I think is worth seeing, and this one's made for HBO, The Normal Heart, which I thought was really good stuff.
Yeah.
And
I still need to see it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I found it to be pretty profoundly moving myself.